Chabar in Tufton Bay, which we didn't really see. And we touched on it a little bit. So the Mechaber says like this, So Chometz goes through three stages. Chometz until Shachamishas, the Mutadit. From Shachamishas until the Laila tells us to eat, it's both of a Shishim. Once Pesach comes, it's Aser Ibn B'Mashahu. So he says, if you're gonna be magal before Shal Chamishis, you're gonna save yourself some issues. Now, the Mechaber goes to multiple issues you're going to save yourself from. Each one of the issues the Mechaber is talking about is really what he's trying to address is this kasha of how do we deal with the problem that we're concerned about, that whatever goes out goes back in. Right? So he's gonna give multiple ways to answer the question. It says before Shachamisha, you don't have to worry about any of them because not for not the Torah, so you don't have to worry about it. So the Bible, everything he's telling me you don't have to worry about, he's told me what he holds of the Terutzim to the Kasha. Am I making sense? Yeah, right. So that's how the way he presents it. So you have to worry about if it's been a Yemen or not. That's one. You don't have to worry about whether there's shishim. You don't have to be concerned about different levels of blias. Why should that make a difference?
What does that mean?
I'm kashing two kalim at the same time. One of them has absorbed a large amount of chametz, and one of them has only absorbed a small amount of chametz.
But what does it mean to say he doesn't have to worry about shishim?
The shishim is in the water against the kli. Now the only question is if it would be after shachamishis, I have to be concerned if I'm kashing two kalim at the same time. One which has a larger amount of chametz absorbed in, one has a lesser amount of chametz absorbed in it. We have to mazmer that. Okay. Kenim masha kelim b'secha yosem midei midai. Reino masha zom kolkach. Ken kesei shal yitzarach lizor shal yinuchu amayim merisi chosim. So he really said five things over here, right? He says, b'nei yaimon is one. Shishim is number two. Worrying about the amount of bleas, leaving it in the right amount of time, and making sure the water is boiling. Okay. Now, so the Rav Lachman points out that points 3, 4, and 5. Don't apply if it's in a ben yomo. So theoretically, you just have to, after Shal Chamishis, if you make sure that it's not a ben yomo, right? Or if there's shishim, the other issues become irrelevant. But what's this point over here? That the Rishonim who asked this question, like, why are we worried about when a bliya comes out, that the bliya goes back in? So one answer is ben yomo. So that we already spoke about. Even if the bliya, the Chazal asked the bliya of which is pogum, only if it went in as being a fresh taste. So they didn't allow you to be even the midrash, and now it's mutter. We're afraid if you allow, you can use a kelim which is ben yomo. You'll use a kelim which is ben yomo. But if the bliya goes in as ben yomo, they never asked it because betzim is not awesome. Right? That's one answer. The second answer is if you have shishim, the bliya comes out, and there's shishim in the water, timavatla, and it goes back in, it's batal already. The Rishonim give three other turutzim. One is that they have a klal, which the Mor says, I did the tari to be parlayed, it's not parlayed. While something is busy putting out, it doesn't take in. So we use that rule when it comes to when you kasher your dam. Right, so the salt is allowing it to pull out the dam. Why aren't you worried about the dam being nibbled back into the chicken? So the Mora says, "Plow that whenever, as long as it's busy putting out, it's not busy. It doesn't absorb." I did the pari lifloid. It's not belayed. Okay, so if I hit the right amount of time that I have the thing in the pot, it's busy putting out. It can't be belayed. So I can't leave it in for too long because then maybe it stopped putting out, and now it's starting to be belayed. So obviously, like, on the other hand, I can't do it too short because I got to get everything out. So that's one territory we shouldn't give, which is a difficult lemaisa to understand what that means. You know, how do you apply the lemaisa? But that they say we're not worried about it being belayed back because as long as it's being parallel, it's not being belayed. Okay. Now that lends itself to the next question. That let's say you're kashering multiple kelim at the same time. So kelim number one has an ounce of iser in it. So it's perlet its ounce of iser. Now it's finished putting out its ounce of iser, and it's ready to be belayed. Kelim number two has 3 ounces of iser in it, so it's still being perlet. So the keli which has a bliya maruba is being perlet, while the kli, which is bliya mu'etis, is absorbing already. So I can't kasha two kelim simultaneously unless they have the same amount of bliya. So I can set my timer for the 3.7 seconds that I figured out the amount of time it needs to be put. Well, that doesn't work. I have two kelim at the same time because keli ela is going to be stop being perlet and stop being belaya before keli number two. So I have to be careful that I can't do multiple kelim at the same time because of this concern.
The problem with that is that it will take in what was being put out from the other kelim.
Right. So that's what the real halacha says. But if it's any banyama, who cares? In other words, these terutzim are going on, you know, that without giving the teretz any banyama, even to banyama, as long as it's being parallel, it's not being belayah. That's a good teretz. I mean, how do you apply to the mice is difficult because what does that mean the right amount of time? But you know, Rishonim answer, why aren't we concerned by Hagola that it's being belayah back? The answer is because it's when it's being parallel, it's not being belayah. But if that's the answer, you're going to have a problem when you have different types of amount, different kelim with different amounts. Then the Mechaber says, "Shlo yinuchu ma'im risichos," and as long as the water is being riseach, the water is pulling out from the kli, so the kli is not absorbing. So it has to be actually, the kolzman is actually bubbling. The Mechaber says, we're not worried about it being belayah because while it's bubbling, it's pulling out. It's not being mavliya. Once it's nochem risichosan, you have to worry about that possibility. And again, so like the Bir Lacha points out, once it's edim yomo, so excuse the pun, big spritz, right? Even if it does absorb it back, right? That's not a problem. But or if the shishim get the same thing. But this teretz is going without saying the shishim, without saying the edim yomo. We have another way to answer the question that calls man. It's mamash bubbling. The water is not absorbing back into the kli. The water is busy taking out.
The same
terrace
as given the
Torah? No, that's a separate rule. It's out of the kayak of the Sikhas of mine.
That's a plow then.
Is that a plow? The only place I know it from is over here. It's not a plow that I found in Relson Shas. So I mean, the basis of brings over here. What the Rashba says, I think, being such a terrace.
How do you pull off the water?
So Tosis over there that gave you that Tosis in about Azara, right? Says that there's a minig to wash off whenever your kasha clears, a minig to wash off with cold water after. What's that for? That's for this issue, right? Tosis, I'm not sure what the minig is for. Because Tosis says that Tosis gives two terutzim, either it's going to work with shishim or with edim and yomo, right? So then I don't have to wash it off afterwards, right? But if this is the teretz, when I get the keli out of the out of kashering, I have to wash it, rinse it off immediately, otherwise it's going to start being boleya. But that whatever liquid is left on the keli will absorb back in. The vinegar is always right. The vinegar is always do it, right. But you know, you're supposed to do it right away, right? So we understand that the right away of this shita and this teretz and the right away of our minig nowadays are two different right aways, you know. I mean, it's a headache and a half sometimes. So you kosher in your sink, you know, pervasive. So you kosher it in steps, because you don't. So you have to rinse off whatever you did with cold water. Then you have to dry the sink, because you can't kosher when there's cold water. Because it weakens the kayak of the hot water coming into the. So like each stage, you have to. Whatever kosher you kosher, then you have to rinse it off with cold water. And then you have to dry everything off. No, not that part. You have to dry the other part off, and then you apply to the kosher right there and start over again. So, but that's nice. That's a minute. Yeah, you should do that. That's a minute. Yeah.
Water, you have to dry it up.
Let's say you do half of the sink, right? You're doing ear in half of the sink, right? So you did ear in half of the sink. So now there's a minute to rinse it off with cold water right away. So you rinse cold water with that. So now you have cold water sitting in your sink. So you want to catch the other half. There's cold water there, so you have to dry that half. So you can catch the second half.
Someone didn't do the minig, is it ma'akev b'diavad? Or they have to catch again?
No, because the mice, because we do it. The minig kashas was built in these other shitas. Right, once you have the Tosha says, I don't understand what the minig is. Tosha says, I don't understand what this minig is about. Tosha says, well, I'm sure. He said, that's the minig. I don't, you know, you're not going to ask everybody ever with a minig, which, and the reason why Tosha doesn't understand, because Tosha the Shitasa says that Hagola has to be with Shishin. So it's with Shishin, like, what are you worried about? What's there's nothing to absorb back. Right?
Also.
Well, or in a binyarma, the same thing, right. Well, the Hagol, the Raisa, can't be in a binyarma, because by definition there's no Issa in a Raisa in a binyarma. Right, saying with the case of the Hagol of the Raisa was a Shisha. That's the Tosis grappling with how in the world that was the Tosis we saw quoted. The Tosis in Kulin says they showed the Ben Ephraim that, you know, the Prima Gadim, like mentioned the Agav. Right, how do you count if you hold that Beshari Surmi, you don't say Nasas Nevei. So the Hagolah of the rice on large kelim will be done through multiple Hagolahs. Because each time you're being mevatel it down to a ratio. Okay, we did it very briefly. He mentioned it just Agav, so I explained the background. You know, it wasn't the primary element. There's a Mechlokes Rishonim, whether you say Chitza Nasas Nevei by Shari Yisur. Or you said only by Basil Kalam is called the Gemara. Right? You say Bashar Yisur. So Ben Ephraim says no, Ben Tam says yes. Mechaber Paskins no, Ramah Paskins yes. The Ran says that's it in the Rabbanan. Right? But the Kreger points out that there's a Tosis in Chulam, which is Mashas of the Raisa. The Tosis says, How do you do a Hagolah? I mean, a Raisa, you only did a Hagolah on a Kel, which is Ben Yarmut. So Bishtami, you're being Magal, a small item, so you do a Hagolah with Shishim. You're doing a goal on a large item, how do you do a goal? So Bishami says if you hold like the Rain of Ephraim, you don't say Nasas Nevela. So let's say for argument's sake that you have a pot and you're able to put it into a large pot which is 10 times its size. So there's 10 times water than there is the pot. Okay, so when you kosher it, first round, all of the everything comes out. It becomes nullified to the point of being only 1/10 of the water. Now it gets absorbed back in, but it gets absorbed back in only 1/10 of the water. And then you kosher it a second time, right? Until eventually you have shisha. So you can do the gola process multiple times to get it to a ratio that's being bought to Bashisha. at whatever size you need. But if you hold Nasas Nevela, so the first time you don't shishim, not only is the pot doesn't become mutter, but all the water becomes asur. So now everything goes back in, everything's asur. So how can you kasher a keli which is large, minaraisa, a keli which is not even mutter. So you don't have the kasher. So the case of the pasuk of Agola was that, you know, the minyanim had breakfast in it, and you can still smell the breakfast in it, you know, like, you know, and his mom is like, you know, it's just, you know, fresh off the, and you, they killed the minyanim, they took the kalim, and they want to come back that day, and they want to use the kalim. That's the case of Agola derais. It has to be a minyan, right? So how do you do it? If it's a large kalim, right? So Tosfos understands that Agola is, so these other terutzim answer that question. You did it through, because it's called Zmanach, lo yinuchim erisichosim. They're answering that question. Right? Tosfos doesn't give that answer. The only way Tosfos can contemplate the idea of Agola on a derisa level was with Shishim. So the Shishim is only for the minute. Right? So, and it's anybody younger, for sure, there's also no need for the minute. But they are answering Tosfos Kasha by saying that the way Hechat Imsa is that, yes, it's Shayat the Kasha, a large Kli, because Kolzman, it's being parlayed, it's not being belayed. So then that's a good point. So you don't want that stuff sitting on there, because eventually it's going to stop being parallel, it's not being belaya. Or the water is reseya, because it's not belaya. Yeah, but once you take it out, now what happens? You want to rinse it off right away. So this is, I don't understand the minute. So the maisa, we only kasher when it's any minyomo. So worst comes to worst, even to the minig, or you do it right away, it goes back in. Okay, it goes back in, it's any minyomo. So it's not a problem. So that's what the Berlocha says, that these other hakpadas are only relevant. He brings the Akronim, says that this kashu, the mashram, that if you do it after the money story, you have to makmer all five things. Well, once you have any banyomo or shishim, you don't have to makmer the other ones. Right? Because who cares if there are two different types of kalim? One has more bleas, one of the other bleas. So worse comes to worse. It goes in, it's going in, it's any banyomo. Or if there's. Okay, so that's, you know, so that's his aura over here on the din. So just pointing out, you know, I just told you that, you know, yeah, we assume it goes back in, and the hetter is because of shishim, or it's pogum. There are other tzurutzim that the rishonim give to the kasha, but on a practical level, they don't play a role in Hagolah that we do, except for the fact that we have this resultant minig, which we do, which Tosfos says, I don't know why we do it. Okay.
I would say by kachim that you have to put in cold water after. Does it come from kachim?
Marak v'shutaf b'mayim. I don't know, maybe. I'm not sure that's what it means over there either, but it could be that's what it means. I mean, again. Yeah. Yeah. What?
I don't know if that's the same.
Yes, yeah, I don't know. That's it. Okay. Now the Mechaber, the Maisa. We mentioned already the Mechaber that. Right. So, one point. Second point. The Shach asked the Kasha. So Shach asked the Kasha that we have an Eitzah to Kasha with being Pogim. Right. So the Shach asked as a Kasha. Right? Some of the Pilsen had a Hanami. Talking about a Gola with Mayim, but there are other ways of doing a Gola. So the Maisa, both from Moshe Zachuba, where he says it, and Yashiv is quoted to say it, and there's a Sefer Seder Pesach Kilchosa, which goes to Yisham Yid, you know. Goes to a lot of different halachas of kashering for Pesach, etc. So in a case where you can't, where it's a Ben Yom and you can't wait, you can be poigim. So the way he does it is you actually do. There is one of the tritzim is we don't do hagola in anything other than water. So being poigim means not water. We know that hagola is, he says, but it doesn't mean it can't be poigim. So you cook it up. You take a poigim. You cook it up once with a poigim agent. You put some detergent in the water. And you cook it up, and now it absorbs that time into the bliyah. So the bliyah is now whatever bliyah is in there are poigim because of the time which went in is poigim, and then. Then you kasher it. You're kashering it as pogum already, even though it's a ben yomo. Right? So, so there's the chanami. One of the ways to answer the shas kasher was shas is given etza. The reason is because the Torah said the goal which the Torah said was with mind. So we know that we can rely on mind. That we can't do it with something else. That doesn't mean you cannot use the etza that the shach is suggesting in a different way. You can be poigim it, and then after being poigim it, so then you can then kasher because now it's pogum.
But the difference is a whole different world.
My brother told me he had this halacha, he had this lemaisa once. They had a kasher that the storage tank. So they didn't use soap. They used some caustic chemicals, but you know, some really really bona fide pogrom stuff. Right? They had a large one of these large storage tanks, which had a heating element, but they put a non-kosher ingredient for storage in there. It was supposed to be one only for the kosher oil. So they had a kosher. So it's a 10,000 gallon storage tank. They need a kosher. They emptied it out. They filled it with water with a poigim, and they heated it up. So it absorbed with the begima. And then they rinsed it out, and they filled it up again, and they koshered it. So they relied on this. This is the tshuva from Rosh Hashanah, which says you can do that. On record, by the way, the Chazanish really basically halacha lemaisa seems to say the same idea. So he accepts as a concept. Also, he argues with the Mechaber. The Mechaber doesn't seem to want to rely on this heter of not the Mechaber, on the Shach and the Taz, that they don't want to rely on the heter of Afer. So he says, and we pass on the Likim Psak, like I mentioned from the Chayotim. I see the Chazanish also says that, you know, we pass like the Mechaber that we assume that these things are poigim. As you said, the Mechaber's Afer isn't poigim, but what we have nowadays, these things definitely, the detergent and stuff like that, definitely are poigim. And so the plea is going in as a pogum, so it's not a problem. Now, playing that out into dishwashers, which we're going to talk about, it doesn't necessarily help you. Because the standard way the dishwasher works is it rinses first. It does a large amount of rinsing before it actually releases the detergent thing pops open. So the first stage is, now, it's not necessarily Yatzeletis bowl right away. There's two types of dishwashers. There's dishwashers which use cold water. They're attached to the cold water intake, and they heat it up inside. So as they're rinsing, it's not necessarily cold, hot yet. It starts the rinsing process as the water's coming in, but it's not necessarily hot. Some of them are attached to the hot intake. So nafkamina, if your boiler breaks, can you use a dishwasher? Right. So apparently the dishwashers which are sold in Eretz Yisrael and sold in Europe, they use a heating element, so they're not totally in the hot water. But then they mamash heat the water. Eventually, they heat the water hot enough to get to the lettuce boat. So it's mamash kli rishon in there. No, no, it heats up before the soap.
You could.
Right. So, I mean, if you want to say that I want to rely on the person finds a milk spoon in the dishwasher. So we saw that, you know, the Taz learns that it's like fake. There's no like fake over here. We know exactly what we know that you wash it together. Right? I open it up and it's there. Maybe we didn't wash it together. Like, you know, you find it in the drawer, you know, it's not a kasha. Maybe you wash it, you stuck in the drawer, you weren't thinking. Right? So it's just a suffix. It's hard to say it was a suffix that happened to sneak into the dishwasher before, just as you opened it by itself. So there's no suffix. You know, you Elamai, what? Was there ban? Yeah, there was ban. Yeah, there was residue of meat on it. So what's the status of your milk and your knife? You know, there's no svek anymore. Well, yeah, but it's pogum. Well, who said it was pogum? The water heats up before the detergent is released. And then you have ban. So Moshe talks about the dimi bata b'shishim. The person said that modern dishwashers can serve water more. It seems that Ramosha, the dishwasher he was talking about, functional but different than the one we have nowadays. And after that, they reuse the water in the cycle, but then it drains out. Ramosha's going to talk about that you have to change the water. It sounded like the one he was talking about, the water stayed in there. Like, he talks about before you do the next cycle, you have to change the water. It's like there's an older version. I'm not familiar with the version, you know, like exactly how it worked, but it sounds like. So, I don't know how much water was in there. Rashi talks about, he assumes double portion of the Toshisha, connected the band which is there. Nowadays, you can't assume that anymore. You know, the amount, they actually have information on the dishwasher to tell you how much water it uses in a cycle. It depends. At any given time, you have to have Toshisha connected the band at any given time. So, the bleed is just for, I need a second for the bleed. So if over the whole cycle it uses 5 gallons, but there's, you know, 2 rinse cycles and there's 1 wash cycle, and over that it's using 5 gallons, it means any given time I don't know how much it's using. Marisha's picture, I think, was picturing like it was like water in it, and it, you know, sitting there, you know. I mean, there's water sitting there. In the bottom, there's, you know, a few ounces of water, but it's there. That's not what he was talking about. So I don't know if he sees exactly what he's referring to. He assumes that there's partial Rishishim. That's not, you have to know. Then, you know, and then sometime during the cycle you have to be concerned about that. So relying on the pashas, the person said, really, if you find the milk a spoon in your flesh, you get the dishwasher. Unless you're the old school women, you know, they would actually rinse their plates before they put them in and clean them off. And the dishwasher was just like hecatim zabalma to make sure that's really clean, you know. So those people, okay, you know, your spoon is okay. But right. Yeah. But nowadays, Pasha, you should capture it. You should capture the spoon. There's a good chance there was a blia. You know, either there's a blia of there's now. Can it be my blia? That's you have to figure out. You know, it's Eric Clarishan according to Ramah, so it's taking the blia, taking the ban and sticking it to the glee. So it's Eric Clarishan, so can't do that. That's according to the Shach says Yishimach Ramah this ban. So that's what we do. But a case where, you know, in the sink, you know, first a lot of times. I think you don't know you got the lettuce boat, and a lot of times there is, you know, you know how you used it, you know, when the soap was introduced into the mixture, so it's a different case. Okay, so that's what I want to tell you about kashering. Mechaber, different points of mechaber, and this point of using a pogam agent is an eitz lemaisa if you need to. Rav Moshe does say an interesting point when he talks about the dishwasher. His question is using a dishwasher for milchus inflations. So he says you need different racks because he's worried about the ban on the racks. He's not worried about the ban and absorption into the walls because it's you know, the same idea we talked about the zinc. It has to get to you have to get that same spot. And it's eerie. He does say it's kedai to run a cycle in between. Then it's like you're kashering it. Kabbalah the kapolta. So you can.
The racks don't get it.
So Rav Forst has a footnote in where he says that the. He's finding it difficult to understand Rav Moshe on this point. He says, especially with the way the modern ones that we have, they're very, very smooth, etc. Nothing gets caught there. So he doesn't know whether Rav Moshe was picturing something which was, you know, not as. So yeah, if you still have your dishwasher from 1965, your stomach, you're not from Rav Moshe's point. He says, the minhag was not to do it, you know, but Rav Moshe himself in the tshuva has, he has a tshuva where he.
Could you kosher plastic though?
We'll get that in a second. So Rosh has a tshuva where he talks about the case they had an old age home, and it's a large commercial dishwasher type of thing. They couldn't switch it, so he allowed them to run a cycle between and then use it for milk inflations. Because basically, whatever inflations bleeds went in is went in behefter, and then it's not by now. You know, all the chishbonos that Rav Moshe has in his tshuva, it's not really a problem. So it's like one of those interesting tshuvas where, like, you have back-to-back tshuvas, multiple tshuvas where he's one of them is being matur because of a tzarek. One of these things you should be matur. It doesn't require separate racks. Can you kosher plastic? Steer and tshuva is Russia. One place where Russia says yes, you could kosher plastic. One place where Russia says no, you can't. The place where he says no is the tshuva about Pesach. So the assumption of most of the modern poskim is that Russia was felt to make it in the Yulika kosher because of Pesach, we're not to kosher. So anything was not a Pesach issue, you can kosher. No reason to believe it's because I'll give a klal. Besides the specifics of the Torah gave, because I'll give a klal kibrola kachpolte. So whatever goes in goes out. The only exception we know is klicheres. Klicheres you can't kasher. So klicheres you can't kasher. That's the pasuk says yishaver. It doesn't. You can't get all of the time out. Klicheres you can kasher by putting it back into the kibshin. But the Rosh says you can't rely on that because you're afraid the person's not going to do it properly because you're afraid it's going to break. Klicheres you can't kasher. Glass becomes a bit interesting question because glass is made from sand. Is that like klicheres? Klicheres is made from, you know, clay. Porcelain is considered to be like klicheres. And then you have the things which are porcelain. You know, they have klicheres in them, pyrex. We possibly you can kosher glass, but you can't kosher klicheres. The pyrex has kaolin in it, which helps it not break at the high temperatures, so you can't kosher pyrex. So it was like that was a shell I told you. Tell the shell we said you got with the onion. No, yeah. So a woman cut an onion with a fleshka knife. Yeah, woman cut an onion with a fleshka knife. Which have been used for hot fleshiks. You cut hot meat. So even though it's in a minyomo, but you know, it's the record of. So you have a fleshka onion. Then she put it into a milchiger frying pan and sauteed it in a milchiger frying pan. So even though eventually once you cook onions, they're not considered a davar anymore, but when she put it in, it was davar. So she basically took a flesh of onion and sauteed it in her milk of a frying pan, making her frying pan shrave. Then she took the onions and stuck them into a Pyrex dish with made a souffle and baked it in the oven. A milk of a souffle. Milk of a souffle and a milk of a souffle dish. So you can't kosher Pyrex, you can't kosher. Now, frying pan, so can you kosher a frying pan? Because it's a non-stick frying pan, and it has the Teflon coating, those coatings are a plastic polymer, so it's plastic. It can withstand very, very high temperatures and it doesn't stick. So that's what they use, the non-sticks are plastic. So directly you can kosher them. The problem is, since it's direct contact, you have to kosher with lima. It can't withstand lima, it pulls up the whole coating. So basically you have a useless frying pan. You know, it's not on stick anymore. So if you want to have a non-stick frying pan, so you can kosher with Lieben, you'd have to heat it up to Lieben Gomer, because directly on the LH. So your frying pan is basically, practically, it's not non-kosherable. So then you have to figure out, so if it's one cut, you're good. If it's multiple cuts, so... You use the size of the knife for each cut. Right, saying so you have one cut. So you say, okay, so how much of the knife was there? Was there shishim? Right. Each time. Yeah. The same, if you cut your onion into, you dice it into a lot of little pieces, you have a lot of problems. So basically, she chose two non-kosherable items to use. So the souffle was basa b'cholov, and the frying pan was useless, and the parched dish had to be thrown out. So it's the b'chorov, it's onions.
So the onions are treif, but the frying pan didn't become treif. It's now a benyum of flishik instead of benyum of milk.
No, it's mitchadas the time of the milk. It's in the frying pan. The onion is, yeah.
I thought that only the onion itself takes out the time pugum, but it doesn't. It's not pugum the cleat.
Yeah, but it takes out a milk of the time. And it makes it. So you have basa b'cholov in your onion.
The onion itself is basa
b'cholov. So now your basa b'cholov is frying in your pan, making your pan basa b'cholov. It's not. So that was like a very expensive souffle that she didn't have to use at the end. Actually, it was a different Rav called me, just to say, you know, can you come with me and Hetzer? Because he was like, you know, like, what if I tell her? I said, it was Erev Shabbos.
The oven is fine,
isn't it? Oven's fine, yeah. Oven's fine.
Would it be something great steam in a lot of problem, right?
If it's not a great steam, you'd have a problem, but the... you can kosher the oven, but even so, I mean, most a lot of these things. I hold the kugel; it doesn't craze you. So souffle is a little more liquid than that. When you picture, like, you make a lasagna, so the way to make a lasagna, when you make a lasagna, you actually boil the pasta in the oven. You put enough water in the that it actually makes the pasta. You have to cook pasta. You can bake it. As you're baking it, you're actually boiling it. So that's taka zizeya problem. Somebody asked me about pizza recently. What the hechatimsa was? So I hope pizza doesn't have zizeya to have it in a zizeya. So. Yeah, you can make it a pleasure oven. As long as it doesn't touch the racks.
And then,
you don't have a problem touching the racks. You put two layers of foil down.
Do you cook bread in a flagellated oven?
If you bake the bread in the flesh of the oven, it's not a problem. The
child is eating with.
You can eat with milk. The problem you have is if you bake a bread at the same time while you're cooking a fleshy dish, which is putting out zeya, then you have a problem. Then you have a fleshy bread.
So technically, you can make a pizza and a chicken at the same time in the oven?
So technically, yeah.
Is that something to avoid?
Yeah, I would avoid. Just use platters and stuff like that. You don't want to take a chance on that, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I remember there was a guy in Cleveland who was very, very familiar, very good in Hilchos Kashrus. And he said something along those lines. And everybody thought, especially the guy's like, you know, like, I mean, I also thought, like, you're a mom's a goy. And I said, I learned the halachas. And he said, you know, he's like, you're right. You know, but remind, like, you know, like there's, you know, Ramosha's true about the sinks, the way it plays out is just, you know, this the kudah, do we have the kosher for the spot, etc. So get the guy at the top of your stovetop. Right? You know, a mold is a splatter. Do you have to kosher that maybe there's a splatter of fleshes and milks in the same spot, but during Mace Lays? No. Right? So something flies out of your pot and lands on the stuff in between. You can use it. You know, it's trafe, you know, because it lands on the stovetop, a trafe on the stovetop, you know. Like, so once there was a rabbi in Cleveland, Reb Blum wears like the old rabbinisha, you know, kapotas with the velvet on, you know, like he looks really very frum. So he said this in the halacha. The lady started screaming at him. He says, "Oh, sir, I'm not the reform rabbi. I'm not the reform rabbi. Ladies, please." That's it's mutter, you know. That's what I feel like. You know, I said this like, you know, in punch. I feel like a reform rabbi, you know. Your wife's not going to let you do it. I guarantee you.
Chicken sauce has that or
no? Yeah, it depends. It defines how much sauce. Yeah, but yeah.
And also, the guy with the dishwasher was saying the minhag is not to use a dishwasher for both mohan and fleshes, even with kashrut and wine.
Right.
What about a power cycle? A fleshy dishwasher, you want to do a power cycle?
So it forces its mother. Yeah. He says, "At worst, come to worst, you're going to have a case of you had a not burn out, you know, situation, you know."
Which means we can't do the chatzkelo, but
yeah, but it's a suffix, you know. It's,
I mean, you're not worried over there by mamashas in the bottom because there was soap.
The mamashas on the bottom, even the mamashas on the bottom, again. So how's it? But so you should clean up the filter, right, at the bottom. Yeah, if you take it to any pieces of van over there. Right. I mean, the way it works, a lot of the way they work is it fills up at the bottom. You know, the water, and then it siphons off from that water to for the sprayer. So that stuff down over there, there might be banner fleshings there. So your water is like mamish fleshings. You know, I might spray some of the band possibly. Okay, so.